This is an addendum to the Sarah Rosner series, designed to detail very specific events discussed in the earlier tapes. In this particular addendum, we first discuss the accusation of child killing against Sarah's father in Hungary when she was a young child. Most of the tape, however, is devoted to detailed descriptions of the housing in Chicago when they first arrived, of the 1910 strike, with particular attention on the clothing and the conditions during the strike period.
Contemptible life was perpetrated by my father. He lived in Belize. It was a town that was composed of a mixture of Russians that were a remnant of some war. I don't remember those days. It wasn't in my days. I'm relating to you what was related to me by my parents. But here is what I recall as it was true to me. You know, it's customary to have fish for the Sabbath. It's almost a necessity. Without fish on the Sabbath, you're committing almost a sin, an unpardonable sin. So, not far from the dwelling where we live, there was a little, not a river, what do you call it, a stream. And my father took my brother, who was maybe 4 or 5 years of age, took some wood, fishing. He had it catch at least one fish to have it ready for the Sabbath. And apparently, he took my father's notebook and played around with it and left it there. And that must have been around before Easter time, before Pesach. And my mother prepared a goose, if she had it killed by the shofar. And the feather that she picked from the geese, put in a casing, a pillow casing. And that's all we done about the Sabbath, everything was all right. And just before Passover, the young Das came to the house and took my father, he got under arrest. They took him to the city where my mother was born. That was a bigger jail, whatever it was. In the meantime, in the same yard that we lived, my father's brother had some kind of business. He was considered wealthy. That's all. And my father was taken to this city where my mother was born, put in jail, and naturally, and the excitement began. And they came to investigate, and they found a pillow that was blood on it from the some little boy was killed. And they decided it was my father's room because it found all the evidence was pointed. The notebook was found there, the pillow was bloody, and all that.
The boy was found dead by the tree, in other words?
No. Where was found? I don't know. I don't know the details. I'm giving you the main point as it was related to me. Well, it started working from one, I don't know, but lawyers, but my parents, my mother had rich brother in another city. To go into details about it would take hours. But the main point is that the priest of the town, Veritsa, was of Russian, Greek Orthodox, and they got together a group of whatever you want to call them, very ignoramuses, of course, and they decided that nobody else but my father. Now they got together to prepare the witnesses, perfect framework. They got three or four different witnesses. They were all supposed to appear in one group before the judge, so they wouldn't contradict each other. But my father's brother and my mother's brother insisted that the witnesses come in individually. I'm relating to you why they call being related to me. I say naturally they each contradicted themselves in the court. In court already, before justice.
Now, was the court in Galicia or in the town?
In the bigger town. Another peculiar incident was related to me that is worth taking note of. The woman that took care of my father when he was a baby, an old, also a Russian woman, she came to court and said, Lippmann never did anything like that. Impossible. Well, at any rate, they kept on postponing it, and the net result was my mother's brother went as far as Franz Joseph, the king. It was, he was set free, but he was in jail for a couple of days. He was there on the Sabbath, and my mother's mother was there, and her brothers were there. They thought to her that he was well taken care of.
Well, sir, why do you think they accused him? What motivated the townspeople? Was it because he was religious?
Because that was the... If you know history, the Jews weren't free in that period. That was... They just mended their veils many... about 70 years after they had the same thing in Russia. There's nothing new.
But why... I can't figure out why they picked your father, confused your father, because he was so... Religious?
No, they pretended it was a Jew. It was a religious Jew, don't you see? And they had it so comfortable because they found the book and they found the blood on the... So the doctors and whatever took place, that they found out it was the Jews that my mother had killed by the shaykhat and all that stuff. So that came to pass. But to show you, but even in those days, how many years ago? It's over 100 years ago. Sure, way over 100 years ago. The offshot of it, my father's brother, he couldn't rest. He seeked revenge. He went to physical violent, but he found a way. Among these perpetrators were rich farmers. They were in collusion with these so-called witnesses. And there was a big crop. My uncle, my father's brother, he saw through that there wasn't a corn left. Everything was burned down, including his house. And those days, insurance wasn't as prevalent as it is today. So this rich farmer, who was the leader of this falsehood, remained poverty-stricken. My uncle went over there, he says, John, whatever his name was, Paulie. He says, that's too bad. He is dying gloom. Take care of yourself.
Well, was there anti-Semitism generally in this little town, or was this an unusual case?
Yeah, I don't know the details. I think, as far as I remember, I didn't know any anti-Semitism. Where I grew up, I was born in that town. But I don't remember, of course there was Jew, but obviously it was suppressed. Now, we live next to a Catholic family, a Roman Catholic, not a Greek Catholic, Roman Catholic. They had apple trees, russet apples, and they used to go kiss. Little Judo, they used to say, stinking Jew. But we're told that you're going to call the young guard. They shut up. They were scared. They were suppressed. It existed there.
So this wasn't the whole thing with your father was not that unusual.
Well, I don't know. I'm just relating to you what transpired there.
Okay.
Now, the next thing you want to know is what?
You told me, you started to talk about going for the water in...
Oh, that was already in the city where we lived. See, we had, by the way, in the town, or in the village that I was born, near a straw roof in earthen, there were no floors, no wooden floors or anything, and but when we moved to the city, there was wooden floors already in the living room, especially. The living room was made up of it was a bedroom, that was the shoe, that was everything.
You all slept in one room?
Yeah, yes. There was a little, what do you call this bed? You put under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, rollaways. Half a dozen rollaways. And it can't be here in Chicago. Where was I?
About going to the water.
On Saturday night, after Abdullah, after the sundown, we had a pump, but the pump water didn't taste as good as the well water. So my father told us to fetch some water from the well. We went to the well, and my brother was 3 years my senior, and he pulled out the it goes up and down the what do you call it? Pitcher or whatever, if they fetch the water, pail of water. And I looked down in the well, and I saw it was a beautiful moonlight night. And I turned to my brother, I said, hey, who made the moon? Who made the moon? He says, God made the moon. I turned around to him, I said, well, then who made God? He slapped me on the face, he said, mustn't say that. But we had to fetch fresh water, because that was it has a better taste, and evidently my father felt that it was cleaner for some reason. I don't know why, but that's the well water. It came from the mountains, the Black Mountains.
I said, now I want you to talk about the apartment in Chicago in that, when you first got there and the first couple of places you lived in, and describe it, how big it was, where it was, how many steps in
the room. We landed at 121 North Lincoln Street. Below our boat, so-called, our residence, we had six rooms, well, three bedrooms. One bedroom was in the hall. And next to our flat, below us, was a junk shop. Now, in addition to our family, we were seven, the oldest sister remained in Budapest, and one was married. So we were seven in the family, two brothers and our sisters. And that served as a synagogue. And everything else, we had six of them, we paid the sum of $8.
So nine of you were living there?
Nine people. We had rollaway beds, same day. In addition to that, we had a boarder, a lunchman, who worked at Kennedy's, where they make a letter. And he stunk. Like, we sunk up the whole house. It was impossible. No matter how cool it was in Chicago, who can come back to 1908 and 1910, the severe weather, they don't come to see you. We had to have the windows open. It was impossible. We were the coast of sinking, stuff cold that we had.
Now, was there running water in the apartment?
We had a sink. We had water running in the water closet was in the hall with a chain pulling down. And once in the blue moon we scrubbed it, we cleaned it. Very seldom, because in summer we had to do it, but the winter was so cold, I wanted to go there. Anyways, so we were 10 people in that.
Did everyone have their own bed?
No. My two sisters, Fanny and Louie, always slept together. I was different. I had to have a place for myself. I recall, once in a while, I think Fanny slept with me. But most of the time, somehow, I was a loner. And I carry, since even the old country, my sister still remarks about it. And always I had anchors. They put their aprons and buttons. And I hate to talk about it because it sounds so you can talk about yourself all this. It makes me sick to think about it, but it's the truth. Not only that, I'm talking about the old country. Now, I don't know how much you know about it, but you know, life.
No, I have all that. We talked about this.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah, we talked about this. Now, I want you to tell me more about the conditions of the apartment.
I'll go into that. Now, we had, as I mentioned, we had, in addition to our own family, we had the boy, the stunt. My sister, Molly, worked in the laundry. She couldn't read nor write. I don't know what she did there, but whatever she earned. And that kitchen floor and the living room on Sundays, on her day of rest, she'd scrub it with soap and water and so. But there's one thing where the hider, is that what they used to call it, the hider, where the water, the faucet, where the sink was. difficult to hide it for some reason.
I never heard that.
Well, it was a sink. It was some kind of a sink. It was all rusty, battered up. And above the sink boarded with boards. And believe it or not, rats as big as cats would pierce, and I think they all came up from the junk shop. And nobody in the family wanted to touch them, and I grabbed the towel or whatever piece of rat I had, and I grabbed them by the tail and pulled them out.
Now, the rat was in the tank, or in the
board? In the
coming up from the board.
Come on, boy. Now, how can I give you a picture of it? I can draw a picture. Right above where you turn on the water,
mm-hmm.
Right above there was a board.
Mm-hmm.
And in that board, the rat came through.
Mm-hmm.
That was a beautiful sight. But generally speaking, my sister Mary, who was... as I said, after having worked in the laundry, she managed to keep the house clean. Of course, I do help. I work usually on Sunday. I swept toilets somewhere else. But she did not allow us to keep it. On the other hand, my brother, my oldest brother, instead of helping, he irritated my poor sister. And sometimes he kicked a bucket of water out. That would sound very good for the family, but that's the truth. I'm giving it to you.
What kind of furniture? Did you have any furniture? It's a bed.
No. You're jumping ahead of place. Over there, we had a table, and we had chairs, and we had beds. And we had a wardrobe of a sort. Very little. I can't describe it. It's so long here, I don't know. But what I wanted to say is, we lived there, and then we moved to a better place. We didn't stay there. We stayed there till 1911, I think it was.
So you were living here during the strike,
though? Yes, mm-hmm. During the strike. You were there during the strike. And in that place, I'm trying to figure out. I didn't live there during the strike because when I came home from the shop, I think you've got that down, but I described. So
do you mean? Well, sir, what do you mean it was off of the show? There was no other show on the block? They used your living room as the show?
And that was a Gracie neighborhood.
Oh, I see.
See, my sister, who owned the junk shop, lived there, and her husband was my father's sister's son, his
mm-hmm.
first cousin. He was the one, in spite of my strict religious upbringing, he was the first person in my experience that introduced me to socialism. He was I think when I analyze it today, after many years, was a Zionist, the height of a socialist. Now, what else do you want me to
do? So until, how long did all seven of the children stay there? I thought it was just you and your younger sister first.
In 1911, my brother got married, Morris. So we were left in the border, then back to Hungary. And in 1911, the same year, think it was my brother got married between 1910 and 1911, the end of 1910. And my sister got married, Molly got married in 1911.
Mm-hmm.
So we were then remained with my brother Dave and three sisters. Dave got married in 1912. So he remained the three of us. We moved to a nicer place, so called. And my father gave up the folk of synagogue. But he did perform wedding ceremonies. But he didn't have no congregation there.
Yeah, but before then, in this other place, the congregation actually was a new
synagogue. Yeah.
And he had the color there and everything?
Everything.
I see.
They had a minion there every evening and morning and Saturday, Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Gersh neighborhood.
I see.
It was right next to the junk shop was a Negro family by the name of Clark. And he called himself a minister. He was a minister, not the type that they have nowadays, like they got to go to university.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to tell my brother and sisters that my father had to go out on the street and pray. Put the telephone tool He was very religious, but those are the people that I described, mm-hmm. I think, once before, or nice. But Mother Dear, mm-hmm. she came down, they were very nice Negro people in those days. As we moved to a better place, my sister Molly got married, Harvey got married. That in itself would take a book to describe
it. Okay, so
there were
the three sisters.
Yeah, then we remained three sisters until the year 1914. That was already nearing to the 1915 strike. But let me tell you something about the 1910 strike. The way we lived. See, meat, chuck was in those days 7 cents a pound. I don't know whether I told you that before or not. We used to go to a certain butcher, the same butcher, that when I landed here in 1908, I was sent to take care of his wife.
Yeah, we have that.
But the meat we used to buy there, later my mother got acquainted, she went to Jefferson to the mattress, it's 7 cents a pound meat. She had to go out of the neighborhood, where there was no Jewish butcher shop around there. We didn't live in a Jewish neighborhood because of like a farm. There was no. My father didn't earn any money, and my brother, all he cared is about himself. As soon as he got a passion, the girls were all laying for him. My parents weren't family conscious.
They
didn't.
Not all the children contributed to the family, though.
No.
Okay.
Molly did somehow. At any rate, Sally and I did the work, and Sally came along. She never wanted to work.
Mm-hmm. First, tell me about the meat, though.
Well, that we took on the credit. We took credit in the grocery across the street. It was our own, a relative of ours who owned the grocery across the street from us. They can't give you any more credit. And that was the end. So what the hell are we going to do? That was the 1910 strike. So we went, they were, I've got a description of it. See, my memory isn't as sharp as it was when I had written about it. I think it was in 1952, I wrote about it in a paper. But they managed to survive.
Well, I don't understand. The others, they weren't all working in the tailor shop. Weren't the others making some money during the strike, though?
No, but who? My brother?
Yeah.
My brother was on strike with us.
Oh, he was doing the tailor shop, too?
They, the one I went to see, he was
in. Oh, so none of the children, all the children were on strike?
We were all on strike. Rose was 9 years old. She couldn't go to school. She didn't have shoes to put on.
Okay, but the other three, Molly was working in a laundry.
Molly was already married.
Oh.
She was just the three of us. That's why they moved from...
No, but during the 1910 strike, you were all home, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Sure, we were all home in 1910. I'm getting mixed up, but...
I don't understand why the others... Couldn't
they did not contribute.
But even during, when...
No, they did not contribute. He used to contribute, but Morris never did.
But even during the strike, when there was...
No.
Okay.
He didn't. He was... he used to work until he got himself a couple of nice suits, nice shoes, and then all the rest. He didn't care.
Now tell me what... Once you understood what the strike was, what happened then during the strike? What did you do?
Well, what did everyone do in the strike? We went on the picket line. We fasted. We were hungry. Rose couldn't go to school. She had no shoes. And as I said, then they gave us some tickets where we went to, I don't remember whether it was necklaces or dresses. They had storehouse for strikers that had family, that had family responsibilities. I wasn't married, but I had the responsibility. Nobody, we were all striking, the three of us were striking. Fanny was 15,
sure,
not quite 15. She had a lot of fun. And my brother's first wife was my girlfriend. So we had one skirt between us. If she went on the picket line, we raised it because she was much shorter than I. When I went on the picket line, I'd let her hand down. That's the way we lived. But we had fun. We didn't.
You had one skirt period or just one nicer skirt?
One skirt between the two of us, my girlfriend and I.
Well, what normally, but what you both wear?
We had
when you went to work. Oh,
what? When we went to work?
Yeah.
Well,
why didn't you have some...
We were dressed very poorly. I'm going to tell you. I'm coming to that. Now, the strike broke out and there's no income. And I wasn't the sleepy kind. I'd go and do most anything to earn a penny. It was nothing but while I didn't know what the strike was, I didn't know what the union was. Oh, yeah, I'm hungry, I gotta do something. So I went to work and I said to my mother, I said, I'm going to go back to work. But before I go, by then I had already acquired some knowledge of the union. I listened to the very speakers in the union hall. I went to the meeting.
Once the strike started, then you went to find out about it.
I think that you had the way that when the strike broke out. Haven't you got that?
But I want to know, once it started and your father explained to you, how did you then become involved?
Haven't you got that?
That's
how I got involved. Now, the thing is this. Once I recognize what a strike means. I became concerned. Yet, in spite of it, I knew that I had to find some other work.
Well, but what were you doing all the time during the strike?
During the strike? We went picketing. My sister was selling socialist paper, and she got a couple of pennies out of that for what, a couple of bread, sanity. they didn't see this in the strike hall. They did have for single men, single women, they had arrest under for 15 cents. They used to give us some strike tickets for 15 cents, get a full meal. Yenta Sadotsky had a restaurant. She's a Jewish writer. But that was only for single men, more than for women, as I recall. But at any rate, as far as I was concerned, and my sister Fanny and they were concerned, we got tickets to go to this warehouse where they had bread, they solicited various sources, bread, herring, beans, rice, and nobody wanted to go either. I went to the desk. I brought on the bacon. But that's how we really, survived from that. But it didn't fit me either. I had no shoes, but I decided I'd go to work. So I said to my mother, before I go to work, come with me to the meeting. We walked from, I don't know how many miles. We walked to Hot Carriers Hall, Harrison, and Central Avenue, whatever it was in Chicago. And my mother listened to the speeches. They were various nationalities, Jewish, Polish, Lithuanian, and English, very little. But the reason why they told us such a hard time is because the officials of the United Garment Workers, they said they could never organize the tailors because they're a bunch of they speak different languages, they can't get them together. Well, human structure was different. At any rate, I took my mother to this Hot Carrier Hall, and it was a Jewish orator. He spoke from his heart. And I said to my mother after hearing, he touched everyone that had any feeling. I said to my mother, all right, mother, now I'm going back to work. She said, over my dead body. I said, well, I have to go to work. I can't go without shoes. It was so. So we had a neighbor, a Gentile neighbor, and poor mouth. And she advised us, my mother, she tried to explain to my mother that there's a Jewish Aid Society. I said, right, go there, either get help or get a job. Well, I've got all that written down.
But tell us
to
me.
Huh?
Go on.
So I went to, I think it was Jefferson Street, they had the Jewish Aid Society. But as long as I will breathe, I'll remember that bitch, Miss Stern. She's a lunchman, you know. Hungarian, I found out later in years. And I went there, and she gave me a note to some manufacturer. I don't remember where it was, anyways. Well, I wasn't hired.
Was it a clothing manufacturer?
No, it was some other, I don't remember. I think it was a hat factory of some sort. Cap factory, hat factory.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the job, but I didn't give up. I went back. It was 10 or 12 below zero, and I had a red sweater. And as I say, I had no soles on my shoes.
Did you have a coat on?
A sweater.
That's all.
That's all. But I was drunk. Smoke. I don't know what. Anyway, I came back, and I said, sir, I can't go. This is too far. Will you send me a car for it? And I started working out back to she opened up on it. She says, aren't you ashamed to ask for charity? Well, I think my Hungarian blood started boiling in me. And I slammed the door and hopped out. And there was a line waiting for her being interviewed. She ran after me. She says, here, here. I just stick it up.
Isn't there it?
Huh? No, I spoke English. I picked up the... I don't think I speak much better now than I did 6 months up. So I didn't want to speak anything else. I refused. Mm-hmm. I didn't...
So where did you go then?
I went... We were going to the meeting, Fanny and I, and I picked up the Chicago Examiner, and I looked through the wanted, and I saw the wanted operators in a hat factory. They train you. I said, Fanny, let's go. He said, I don't want to go. Yeah. I'll go. Maybe I come up with the... I looked around, it's such a beautiful, clean place. I'm used to the dirty tailor shop, although in Hatchet and Marks it was comparatively clean. They had more water, and I used to wash my handkerchief there in Hatchet and Marks. And here, murals all around, and they had factories. I come to the office, and he got all the help. No, he had no empty machine at some other time. I said, there is an empty machine. You know, I didn't take no for an answer. I said, you give me a chance. I'll make good. I told myself, just come back tomorrow. So I got back. They had advertised it, paid $6 for learning. It was a hell of a lot of money at that time, although I was making already $9 the normal basis. Now I took myself already. But I figured $6 is better than... She tried to get rid of me. She said, you only pay $5. I said, that's all right. You'll do better at least in my work. That's how it happened. Anyways, I came down the next day, not even to you. Well, I tell you how I got money. In the family, they kept cars with the grain there. It's so rotten that I can't even tell it to you. I came down there, and I didn't know anything about head. I knew how to work the power machine. I worked the cross section, and I knew how to sew. And I watched the others, and I started, I went to town. So she comes over to me in the evening, she says, you see, our girls are dressed decent, just like that. We can't afford to have people like that. I said, I'll come in dressed tomorrow.
How were you dressed?
How was I dressed? I told you I had a red sweater I had a skirt that I got from the junk shop and a blouse that I got from the junk shop that I used to wash it every... This was where I was working. I washed it every Sunday and ironed the skirt every Sunday. So there's iron that you could use on the stove.
And then you'd wear the same skirt and blouse all week?
Yes. Well, I washed the blouse. In that respect, I think I was different. I tried to keep myself clean. But I went to work and I paid $2 for a coat, winter coat, $2 for a pair of shoes, and $1 a hat.
Well, where did you get the $5?
I don't want to tell you.
Oh, okay.
It was terrible. Well, I tell you this much. I took my mother's wedding ring that I bought from this money that I saved up, and I pawned it in the family. They wouldn't give me the $5. I gave them security. I came all dressed up, and I went to town, and they liked my work. And I didn't get $6. I got $7. So you could imagine what they told me. They told me, when the strike settles, you're going to leave us. I said, no. I should call me a liar. I said, it wasn't a union shop, and I wasn't saturated, but I was already union conscious. And I sort of thought to myself, they can lie. After all, I'm not lying to cheat anybody. I said, no, I won't go back, as long as you keep me right out. I worked there 3 weeks. Every week I got a raise. And I should have stayed there again. I come to think of it, I was conscious stricken. No, as soon as the strike was settled, I went back. And then I was kicked in the pants.